giving honor to my husband, Derek, and to Pastor Carter and all of our pastors and elders and leaders. It's a privilege to stand before you again and just share what God has put on my heart tonight. Just want to pray. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. And God, I just pray for your leading, God, that you would take us where you want us to go and do in us, Lord God, what you need to do in us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if I had to title this tonight, it would be, Please Don't Lie to Me. Please don't lie to me. And I want to talk to you, I'm just going to kind of tell you about a story about a woman that was in the Bible. And the story is found in 2 Kings, but you don't have to necessarily turn there. I'll just try to tell you the story to the best of my ability and what's on my paper right here in front of me. Amen? So there was a woman in the Bible, and she was married. And her husband were well off. And there was a man of God that used to pass through their town from time to time. And no doubt this woman had seen the things that God would do through this man. And so her and her husband, well, she went to her husband and she said, you know what? I think I just want to make a place for this guy. Every time he comes through town, I want to just have a special room for him. He does so much in the community and for the people here. So we're going to just add a room onto the roof, put some walls, a chair, and a table, and just a place where he could come and he can rest every time he passes through. So she spoke to her husband about it, and that's what they did. So she was hospitable to this man of God. You know, it doesn't say that she was a follower of God or anything like that, but she just probably said, well, this man is doing a good thing, and because he's doing a good thing, then I want to help him because I'm about doing good for people. I don't know what her reasons were, but she opened her home toward this man. And then later on, you know, like another time when he was passing through and he went and he stayed at this family's house, you know, he said to his servant, he said, you know, this woman has been so kind to us. Like every time we come through, she opens her doors to us. Like, I wonder what we can do to repay her for her kindness. And so he called for the woman. And she was very respectful. You know, she came to the door and she didn't just barge in even though it was her house. She, you know how you invite somebody to your home and you say, mi casa es su casa. And, you know, you need anything, just let me know. I'll get it for you. And you give them their space. You give them their privacy. And so she came to the door and he said, what can we do for you? You know, like, do you need us to talk to, like, some government official or something? Like, what can we do? We want to do something for you. And the woman answered him, and she said, well, I dwell among my own people. And when I saw that, I said, well, what did that mean? I dwell among my own people. Like, I only dwell among certain people. I only hang out with certain. What did that mean? But what she, in fact, was saying to him was, I'm good. I'm okay. Like, you don't have to speak to anybody for me. Like, I can basically speak to people for myself. And you know, like, I'm a well-known person in this community. If I needed to basically speak to someone in authority, I could do that. You know, you don't have to do that for me. I can take care of that myself. And basically, she was saying to him, like, he couldn't do anything for her that she couldn't do for herself. That's what she was saying to him. I'm good. I'm okay. You know, her inviting him in was just another one of her ways to do good. You know, or maybe it was another way to kind of cover another base. Like, just in case this person is someone that I kind of want to have in my corner, I'll just extend myself. We don't really know. We don't really know. See, the thing was, this woman felt that she had everything that she could need. And him offering to give her anything, it was like, I don't really need anything. I'm good. She didn't, it didn't say if she wanted a relationship with God, but her relationship with this man of God was on her own terms. She made the decision to make this little place for him. So that was her doing. She could accommodate him when she wanted to. It was her decision to, or her choice to make. She didn't really, she was offering him a place to stay, but she didn't feel like she really needed him. She didn't feel like she needed him, and she was content with her life the way that it was. But as the story goes on, what God begins to do is he begins to put his finger on the one thing in her life that wasn't okay with her. He began to put her finger on the one thing in her life that brought her discontentment. The one thing no one else could fix for her. The one thing she decided to make peace with a long time ago. Not only has she made, did she make peace with it, but her husband made peace with it, and those around her made peace with it. So, as the story goes on, the man of God asked his servant, he said, like, what could we possibly do for this woman? She was like the woman that had everything. And sometimes people feel like, I have everything I need. Like, there's nothing that I really need from God. Like, I have my job, and I have my family, and I have my friends, and, you know, I'm okay. You know, okay, I might not be super rich, but I have the things that I need. I'm content. I'm all right. My life is fine the way that it is. And the servant said to the man of God, he said, well, you know, she doesn't have a son. And her husband is old. So not only did she not have a son, but there was no way for her to even have a son. So here's this woman. And they called her in again. And she stood in the doorway. And he said, at this season, about the same time next year, you're going to have a son. So she had all this wealth, all of these things. But no one, no heir, nobody to give all that she had accomplished, all that she had gotten for herself, no one else to pass it on to. If the servant of God was able to give her this one thing, it would remove the one thing in her life, the one issue that caused her any kind of grief. Her response to him when he said it, she said, no, my Lord. Man of God, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. See, because God was telling her something about a part of her life that she had come to terms with, that this will never be. This will never happen. This will not be my story. And here he is making this promise to her. It was a promise. He said, by this time next year, you are going to have a son. And because it was something that meant so much to her, so much to her, it hurt her for him to even say it. Because he said, she was like, listen, I know you're a man of God. I respect you. I made a place in my house for you. But don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Don't tell me that you can fix what I know can't be fixed in my life. See, because I've come to terms with the fact
that this is not my lot. That I will never have an heir. I will never have a son to pass on all of these fineries, all these things that I've accomplished in my life. And even though I know all these people, no one else will benefit from the influence that I have in this town. When me and my husband leave, that is the end of my life. Don't lie to me. But it says that that woman conceived just like he said. And so it seems like that would be pretty much the end of the story. But God was going after something deeper in this woman's life. And you know, sometimes we have written things off in our lives. For some, it may be an addiction. For some, it may be reconciliation with a family member. For some, it may be an education. For some, it may be your job. Like saying, like, I'll never be able to do more than this. For some, there may have been dreams of things that you were hoping to do. And at some point in your life, you just said, this is just not going to happen for me. I'm just going to come to terms with it and accept it. And that's it. There's no one that can change this part of my life. So as the story goes on, this son that she had, he grew. And he grew older. And he went out in the field one day with his father. And while he was out in the field, he began to get sick. And he began to complain about his head. He said, my head is hurting. And he took him, he rushed him home. And when he rushed him home, he rushed him to his mother. And when he sat there with his mother complaining about what he was feeling, it said that the boy died. The boy died. And when he died, the woman got up and she put the child in the room that she had made for this man of God, and she laid him on the bed. She laid her dead son on the bed. Now, this was a whole change in her relationship with this man of God. See, because she wasn't waiting for him to come through town to see her son. She wasn't waiting for him to pass through anymore. She got up and she got herself a donkey, I think they said it was. And she said, hurry, I need to go. I need to go and see this man of God. See, something clicked, something happened. And I believe that there are people here today who had a relationship with Jesus. And something happened and you felt like, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. Maybe you were disappointed. Maybe something didn't turn out the way that you thought that it should. And you decided, I'm just going to lay this dead child on the bed. And I'm just going to walk away. But I'm here to tell you, don't do that tonight. Because she didn't just leave him there. See, she had this idea that, oh, this guy's trying to deceive me. He's not telling me the truth. But when she realized what God was able to do, and that God did what he said he would do, when her son died, there was no question in her mind. See, some of us, when things happen and they don't go our way, we get angry with God and we don't want to deal with him anymore. But God is saying tonight, listen, I want to resurrect something for you. I want to resurrect something for you. See, we give up on God, but God never gives up on us. We may not understand why God has allowed certain things to happen in our lives, but you know one thing I know about God, it's all about his glory. It's all about us getting to know him in a greater way, in a greater measure. And this woman, she didn't just settle with leaving her son there in the bed or just receiving her dead son. She said, no, 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 no. This child, this man of God told me I was going to have this child. So she set out to go and find him. And not, she went to find him and she had a purpose. She was not tiptoeing. She was running. She was looking, searching out the man of God. And when she got there, the servant, they said the servant came to meet her. And he was like, and the man of God said, find out what's wrong. Like he saw her coming as she was approaching. He said, find out what's wrong with her. Is everything okay? Is her family okay? Is the child okay? And so the servant came running and he said, are you okay? Is everything all right? Is your family okay? She said, all is well. It's okay. Basically, don't worry about it. I'm good. Don't worry about it. I'm good. And she kept looking. She was looking for the man of God. She wasn't looking for his servant. She was looking for the man of God. Because she said, that's the one that I need to see. I need to see the man of God. Thank you. Thanks for asking. Everybody's fine. Everybody's good. I just need to find my way to the man of God. And when she saw him, she ran. And the Bible says that she caught him around his feet. And the servant ran and said, wait a minute, what you doing? Lady, like, calm down. She grabbed him. She grabbed him around his feet. And the man of God said, leave her alone. Because she was in bitter distress. And she said, did I ask you for a son? It was like, couldn't you just leave well enough alone? I didn't ask you for this grief that I'm feeling right now. I was content. I was okay. Did I ask you for a son? Didn't I say, don't lie to me? This is what she said to the man of God. Didn't I say, don't lie to me? When things don't work out the way that we were expecting them, sometimes we can feel deceived. We can feel like, why would you let this happen to me? Why would you allow such grief or heartache to happen, to enter into my life? And the man of God told his servant to go ahead, and he told him to lay his staff on the child's face and to revive the child. And when he got there, he did it, and there was still no life in the child. And when the man of God came to the house, he saw the child laying on his bed. And so he went in and he closed the door. And he began to pray to the Lord. And he put his hands on the child's hands. And he put his eyes on the child's eyes. He put his mouth on the child's mouth. And the Bible says that the child's body began to warm up. And that the child got up and he began to walk back and forth in the house. I mean, that the man of God walked back and forth in the house, and it said that the child sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. And then he called the woman back into the room. I guess to say, I didn't lie to you. I didn't lie to you. God didn't lie to you. And it said that when she came in, he said, pick up your son. And she fell at his feet. She fell at his feet and she began to worship God. She began to worship God. She didn't worship the man of God, but she began to worship God. Because what she thought God meant for evil was really for her good. And sometimes You know, we do things and consequences never change for the things that we do. But the way that we live through those consequences can be very different. Can be very different. Sometimes, you know, we can feel like this is, you know, like, why is this happening to me? Sometimes things that we do, we bring a lot of things on ourselves. And I'm going to be totally honest. Some of the decisions that we've made in our lives have put us in predicaments that we can't change. But just like this woman, God didn't allow her son to go through this death to bring about her demise. It was really to bring her life. It was to show her that she did need Jesus. She did need God in her life. Some of us have gone through traumatic things, but in it, we found out that we were never strong enough to deal with certain things. We found out that God is our helper, that he is our strength. Some of us don't even know how we've gotten through some of the difficult times in our life. If it wasn't for the Lord on our side, where would we be? We all need God. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And he knew we needed him. And that's why he left his home and decided to walk this earth so that we would be able to have a relationship with God. He came for us. He came for us. See, she realized that this home that she was making for the servant of God, it really wasn't about what she was doing for him. It was about what he wanted to do for her. See, she needed a revelation of who God was. That God is able to work miracles in her life. And he can resurrect dead things. He can resurrect dead things in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you feel you've messed up so bad, then no good can come of this. God can resurrect dead things and give it new life and wake you out of your slumber and show you all the marvelous things that he wants to be and do in your life. God is here tonight. And some of you may have been going through some very difficult times. And in those difficult times, the last person you want to turn to is Jesus. But he's saying, if you turn to me, I'm going to give you life for what you thought was dead. I'm going to give you joy for your sorrow. He wants to change your situation, change your life. He wants to have this relationship with you where you know, like she knew, I need to go and where Jesus is, because that's the only place that I'm going to find the help that I need. Jesus is here for you tonight. He's here for you tonight. Even if you're brokenhearted, even if you feel like I'm afraid to trust God again, I'm afraid of what may happen. I prayed and I asked God to do something and he didn't do it. But I'm asking you, if you would trust God again, he has never stopped looking out for you. He's the one that's been keeping you this whole time. And you may not have even realized it, but Jesus, his hand has been on you the whole time. He's been helping you. There are times, sometimes we can go through difficulties where it feels like it's hard to just get up in the morning. But I'm a witness that God will wake you. And not only will he wake you in the morning, but he'll put a song in your heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. He'll give you a song in your heart that you won't even be able to explain. And you'll walk through your day with a joy and a spring in your step. And you won't even understand why. Sometimes things can get so hard. It can get so hard. You don't even want to answer people when they ask you how you're doing. But I'm telling you, it's only the grace of God that keeps us. We're living in a time where everything is so uncertain. There's only one sure thing. Whether I live or die, whether I'm rich or poor, whether I have an education or I don't, whether I have a husband or a wife, whether I have children or I don't, whether I'm single, whether I have the job that I want or whether I don't. There's one constant thing. There's one constant thing. Jesus died. Jesus died and he rose again. Jesus died to bring you life. Jesus died that you would be able to live eternally with him. He did it for you. 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 He cannot lie. He's not a man that he should lie. Yes, people have failed you, but God cannot lie. He doesn't lie to us. He doesn't play games with us. He has our best interests at heart. He has our best interests at heart. I'm going to ask the worship team to come at this time. This woman's attitude about the man of God, or really about God, changed. Instead of just being someone that, you know, she just have a visit every once in a while, she became a seeker of God. She became a seeker of God. And God is calling you tonight. He's calling you tonight. And he's making you a promise. And he's not lying to you. He's saying, I want to change your life. I want to be a part of your life. Will you let me be a part of your life? Will you let God in? In spite of all the things that have happened around you or what you thought should have happened, are you willing to open your heart to Christ? Some of you, are you willing to open your heart to Christ again? Again? He's pleading with you today. He's saying, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Just tell me. I don't want to disappoint you. I'm asking you because I want to know. He wants to know. What can he do for you tonight? What can he do for you? I'm just going to ask if we could just stand tonight. And I'm just asking if you would open your heart to trust God with your situation, with your family, with your job, with your finances. Would you open your heart and trust God? He wants to come in and make your heart his home. He wants to live with you every day. He's saying, would you let me be your father, your friend, your savior? Will you let him in today? If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to come down And I'm going to ask those that are sitting, would you turn to the person next to you and just ask them, what is it that you want from God tonight? And if they want you to, you can come down with them. What do you want from God tonight? Don't be afraid to tell him. He's more than willing to answer you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know that everybody that is responding today, we know that we need God. We need the Lord. We need him. And after this experience that this woman had, she couldn't just continue to live her life the way that it was. There was a change. There was an acknowledgement that, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you in my life. Like, you showed me that the one thing that caused me so much grief, you were able to identify it in my life, even when she never told them anything. You know, there are things inside that only we know. People around us don't know, but God sees it. He identifies it. He sees it. And today, I really believe in my heart that God is saying, I want to put my finger on that one thing. And I want you to know that I'm going to heal. I'm going to revive. I want to restore. I want to bring joy where there was mourning. I want to bring life to what you've written off and said. This is never going to change, no matter what it is. And how does that change come about is when we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts and he comes in. And the Bible says that all the old stuff passes away and he makes us new creatures. And we have a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing things, a new way of understanding. Even the difficult times, we have a new way of understanding those things. So I just want to know if there is, we're going to pray all together. We're going to pray. But if there's anybody here tonight, and this is your first time coming to an altar like this and to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, receive Jesus Christ into your heart where you're sitting, that Lord, I want you to come into my heart and I want you to be Lord of my life. If there's anybody here tonight and that's you, if you could just raise your hand, we just want to pray with you. God bless 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 you, sis. And if we could all pray together, God bless you, with these that are coming for the very first time. And God is so pleased that you made the decision to just respond and just watch and see all the wonderful things God will begin to do in your heart and in your life. Can we pray together with everyone that's responding for the first time? Lord Jesus, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. And God, I open my heart to you. And I ask you to come in. Live on the inside of me. Change in me what I cannot change. Lord, I know that I'm not perfect. And I've done a lot of wrong things. But I know that you died to forgive me for all the wrong that I've done. Because you love me. So, Lord, I ask that you would make me new. And, Lord, that you would receive me in heaven. And, Lord, I just ask that you would take charge of my life. and teach me everything I need to know about you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. This is a good day. This is a good day. This is a day of life. Hallelujah. This is a day of joy. Hallelujah. There's an exchange taking place today. We're going to give what's dead and impossible to God, and he's going to make an exchange with us, and he's going to give us himself. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. I want to pray for the rest of you that are here tonight. Lord, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. And God, we know, Lord God, that you're not a man that you should lie. Lord, you haven't lied to us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we ask you, Lord God, even in the midst of our difficulties, Lord God, that you would help us to know, Lord God, that we can trust you, that we can rely on you, God, that we can depend on you, Lord God. And Lord God, those things that we've written off, Lord God, Lord, where we've tried and maybe failed so many times, God, you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly, God, above all that we can ask you or think. So God, we come to you tonight and we ask you, Lord God, for the things that we need in our lives. God, we ask you, Lord God, for the things that we need changed, Lord, that we know we cannot do on our own. And God, we believe you. We believe you to make those changes in our lives, God. We believe you, Lord God, to resurrect those things that we said are dead and there's no hope. God, we believe you today, Lord God. God, we're tired of trying to make it on our own. God, we turn it all over to you. And we entrust our lives, our futures, Lord God, even our past. God, we give it all to you. God, it's all under the blood. And we pray, oh God, that our futures would be found in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.